Welcome to the Rich Thoughts Podcast, where our goal is to glorify God and terrify the devil. Get ready. It's going to be a great journey.
Good morning and welcome to Rich Thoughts for Breakfast.
I'm Harold Herring, and that's my fine wife, Beth. On yesterday's call, we began talking about prosperity's priorities. We're going to finish that today, but first, a brief review. Number one, God's law of release. God's law of release. Poverty and lack are not by, well, they're not accidents. And poverty is not, lack's not, and neither is prosperity. Strict spiritual laws govern both. The spiritual law of release says, be willing to release for increase. Proverbs 11:24-25, Message Bible. The world of the generous gets larger and larger. The world of the stingy gets smaller and smaller. The one who blesses others is abundantly blessed. Those who help others are helped. Great scripture. God makes it clear. If you're generous, your money will increase and you'll be prosperous. If you're stingy or hoard too much of your money, more than is proper, you'll be poor. God's spiritual law will not change, no matter how uncomfortable it makes us feel.
Number two, put God first. Wow, that should go without saying. There's no doubt about it. God is always first in our lives. Not a single soul in all Christianity, I don't think, would disagree with that statement. There's really, as far as I know, not one doctrine, one church, or one preacher, or one teacher, or one even Christian philosopher who would argue with that principle. But to make a major breakthrough in the spiritual area of our finances, our spiritual priorities need to be absolutely straight. God is first in every aspect of our lives, not just in a passive agreement, but in our daily actions.
Amen. Number three, tithe off the top. A major question many Christians ask as they begin to put their financial house in order is, do I tithe before or after I pay my bills? Many people will pay all of their bills, and then after all their financial obligations are met, they'll tithe to God out of the remaining money. That may be a common practice, but it is not what the Bible teaches. Deuteronomy 26:2. Thou shalt take of the first of all the fruit of the earth, which thou shalt bring of thy land that the Lord thy God giveth thee, and shall put in a basket, and shall go into the place where the Lord thy God shall choose to place his name there.
Mm. And it also comes before the government.
That's it.
So we need to make that point too. Yeah. You tithe before your gross, not just what you take home.
That's exactly right.
Number four, giving. We're going to continue
we're
now.
We're going to continue, yeah.
Giving precedes receiving. We've been learning that God sets priorities. We can read them in the Word. Now we want to emphasize one of the most elementary priorities of all. Giving always precedes receiving. If you want to say it in general terms, you sow, then you reap.
That's it.
The world would have you believe that you receive first, then you give. And so many times we've heard good, really honest, sincere Christians say, well, Brother Harold and Sister Bev, when I receive $1 million, I'm going to give big into the work of the Lord. You just watch. I know I will. But the Bible literally contradicts that bit of human reasoning. It says that a person must be faithful in little before they'll ever be faithful in much. They'll never have an opportunity to have much if they're not faithful in the little.
Good.
Luke 16:10 says, he that is faithful in that which is least is faithful also in much. And he that is unjust in the least is unjust also in much. Who was it, honey, who said, if I hadn't tithed on the first dollar, I wouldn't have been able to do it on the millions he made.
That's it.
But listen to this next sentence very carefully. Waiting for abundance before starting to give will not ensure the giving of large gifts. It will actually ensure just the opposite. You just won't give at all. First things come first. If we want to receive from God, we must learn and begin being givers. He's the greatest giver of all. The Bible clearly teaches this principle over and over and over throughout the entire book. Luke 6:38, we quoted it yesterday, says to give first, then it will be given to you, pressed down, good measure. Malachi 3:10 says to tithe and give offerings first, and then God opens the windows of heaven and pours us out a blessing. Even unsaved farmers know this primary principle. You must sow before you reap. You've never heard a farmer say, well, I'm not going to do any planting. I'm going to first, you know, give God a chance to harvest the wheat, and then I'll plant the seed. Right. Every farmer knows that such a thing is this. It's a simple thing. Let's put it that way, really. That happens. You know, you must put the seed in the ground first, and then you get back a harvest. And God is the one who made up seed time and harvest. Does the Lord give us salvation first and then we give our heart to him? Of course not. First, we give the Lord our heart, our life, and then he gives us eternal life. God's principle of planting first, then reaping is firmly entrenched in every aspect of our lives and in the Bible, from Genesis to Revelation, from farming to the propagation of every species. Giving always precedes receiving.
Number five, giving and abundance. You may consider yourself a generous giver. You may be faithful with your tithe and even give generous offerings when prompted by a well-presented need or moved upon by the Holy Spirit. But we want to encourage you to enter a whole new dimension of giving and receiving. We want you to experience a bold new realm far beyond what now seems substantial to you. Your giving horizon, the highest, greatest, most blessed experience of giving and receiving, we want it to be more than you can imagine. And we want it to be where you are now is just to be the starting point on that journey. A whole new giving experience can begin to take form in your spirit today. The enemy is trying to keep you from rising above your current level of giving. He wants to keep you in a low level of awareness, far short of what God intends for you, and far short of what you desire to attain. Now is the strategic time to make up your mind that you're going to think some bold, new thoughts and make some financial breakthroughs. Once you fully realize the new level of abundance that God has planned for you, you can rise out of your current dimension and reach a far more generous level. No matter where you are now, it's time to move into a new dimension of giving.
Number six, proper priorities bring blessings. There's one major time in the Bible that we read where someone inquired of Jesus how to be saved. The one who posed this question was a rich ruler who asked, "Good master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life?" This is in Luke 18:18, I believe. As amazing as it may seem, Jesus preached a money sermon to that young boy. He told him to go sell all he had and give to the poor and follow him. Why did Jesus say such a thing? Do you think it was because he wanted the young fellow poor? That's not it at all. Of course not. It was because Jesus wanted him to get his priorities straight, and he knew his heart, and he knew they weren't straight. If the young ruler had agreed to give up his riches for the sake of the gospel, Jesus would have given back those riches greatly increased. If you want to read more about this, Mark 10, verses 29 and 30. Scripture teaches that it is impossible to go broke giving to the poor. In Proverbs 19:17, we read this promise: "He that hath pity on the poor lendeth unto the Lord, and that which he hath given will he pay him again." Now remember, God must be our first priority. When his priority is established over money, over our money — oh, money can be very, very precious to a lot of people.
Sure.
The Lord can begin to do some mighty things in your life and in your finances. Remember, God gives you the power to get wealth. That's just why you have any. Deuteronomy 8:18, one of the first scriptures I learned when I realized that God is in charge of money. But thou shalt remember the Lord your God, for it is he that giveth thee power to get wealth, that he may establish his covenant. God wants his covenant established because he wants us to be a blessing to everybody we meet. Genesis 12, verse 2 says, and I will make of thee, he's talking to Abraham, which we are his seed, I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. So we need to go boldly beyond being a blessing, because we can't be a blessing to others until we've personally been blessed by God himself.
Number 7, the cost of living in heaven. How much do you think it'll cost to live in heaven for 1 year? Will you have to buy food? Is the rent expensive there?
Especially with streets of gold, right?
That's it. Will there be any doctor bills? Of course not. Everyone there, everyone knows that there'll be no need for money in heaven. Money will have no purpose in heaven. Obviously, material blessings will become perfectly worthless once we enter the pearly gates. So we want to ask you a serious question. Why does the Bible speak of an increase of our money and material wealth? Why does the Bible talk about prosperity at all? Surely God knows money, wealth, and prosperity have to do with activity going on right now, right here on planet Earth. Prosperity, money, and wealth are for this realm, this time. Listen carefully to the words of Jesus as he promises an increase of goods beyond our wildest dreams. Not after we get to heaven, but right here and right now. Mark 10:29-30. There is no man that has left a house or brethren or sisters or father or mother or wife or children or lands for my sake in the Gospels, but he shall receive 100-fold now in this time. Houses and brethren and sisters and mothers and children and lands. And in the world to come, eternal life. House with lands will have no value in eternity. The only thing a new house will mean to any, will mean anything to you is now in this time. Such things have no worth in heaven. Yes, God is deeply concerned about your spiritual blessings, but he's also vitally concerned about your material blessings now in this life.
Honey, I want to add one thing in here too. We haven't said it in a long time, but those who've listened to us for a long time know that we mean everything we say. There are more scriptures on money, you know, land, real, I mean, all to do with money in the Bible than there are in faith and healing and even salvation, more to do with money because God knew this was an area we would need to be wise in.
Also, heaven and hell.
There you go. I mean,
more scriptures on finances.
That's right.
Wealth. Mm-hmm. And all those other items combined.
That's right.
Well, we've just given you some good reasons to get your spiritual priorities in order.
Amen.
And then you'll have your prosperity priorities in order.
That's right.
Hallelujah. Go to HaroldHearing.com. Do you want to say something?
Well, I was just going to say, run after God and money will run after you.
That's it. Don't chase money, chase God.
That's it.
Then money will chase you.
Hallelujah.
Amen. Go to HaroldHearing.com. If you're blessed by the teaching and the ministry, click on the button that says Soul Seed. Just ask God what seed he'd have you sow. Do what he says. That's all we ever ask. And until tomorrow morning at 8:30 Eastern, God bless you. Happy trails.
And keep thinking rich thoughts.
We love you. We appreciate you. Bye-bye.